Saturday, June 7th, Vigil of Pentecost. The lesson from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. In those days it came to pass, while Apollo was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" But they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And he said, "In what then were you baptized?" Who said, "In John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John baptized the people with the baptism of penance, saying that they should believe in him who was to come after him, that is to say, in Jesus." Having heard these things, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had imposed his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And entering into the synagogue, he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and exhorting concerning the kingdom of God. Haydock Commentary. These men were apparently the disciples of St. John the Baptist, who believed in Christ from his testimony, and had received no further instruction nor any baptism but John's. St. Paul first inquires of them if they have received the Holy Ghost by confirmation. Their answer is probably not to be interpreted with rigor, since they must have heard something of the Holy Spirit, so often mentioned in the Old Testament, the one by whom the prophets are said to speak, etc. They meant they did not know there was in the church any means of communicating the Spirit to the faithful. They are said to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus to distinguish it from the baptism of John. The baptism of Christ was given in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, according to the command of Christ himself in Matthew 28:19. Paul imposed his hands on them, by which imposition of hands was given the Holy Ghost in the sacrament of confirmation. The Gospel from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. At that time Jesus said unto his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Paraclete, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, nor knoweth him. But you shall know him, because he shall abide with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, and you shall live. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Haydock Commentary. Jesus is saying, instead of afflicting yourselves at our separation and my going to the Father, you ought, if you truly love me, to testify your affection by a faithful observance of my commandments. Behold, this is the best proof you can give me of your attachment, better far than any exterior sign of grief and tenderness. So says St. John Chrysostom. The Paraclete is a comforter, or an advocate, inasmuch as by inspiring prayer, he prays, as it were, in us and pleads for us. It is evident that this Spirit of truth was not only promised to the persons of the apostles, but also to their successors through all generations, as he is said to abide with them forever. What greater happiness, what greater security for the faithful, than to have this divine promise, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, remaining with the church forever, to protect and preserve her from all errors and heresy? If the Holy Ghost had been promised only to the apostles, their successors could not have challenged the promise. But the promises and privileges were not merely personal, but attached to their office perpetually. Hence the Holy Ghost in every age perpetually watches over the Catholic Church and preserves her from both open and secret attacks of her enemies. "In that day, when I am risen again, or when the Holy Ghost is come, you shall know that I am in the Father, and how and in what manner, as also how I am in you, and you in me." Our Savior Christ, on several occasions, speaks of different ways of being united or of being one, as first of being one in nature and substance, and by such a union as agrees only with the divine persons who are one in all things. Second, persons may be one or united in affection and love, which also, as to its most perfect manner, agrees only with the three divine persons. But a similitude and an imitation of this union of love is found among creatures, both when they love God and when, for God's sake, they love one another. Yet these unions are as different as God and as creatures.